Our scripture today is Luke 13, verses 10 through 17. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, it's hard to believe that it's been over 20 years since I was appointed to my first churches. The Millville and New Hope United Methodist Churches are in the country roughly between Polo and Richmond, off to the east of Highway 13. Millville and New Hope was the first appointment for a lot of pastors as they begin our ministries. And Millville and New Hope, it was the place where I did my first funerals and weddings and began to learn how to preach. The New Hope church building was built in the 1860s, and it's surrounded by this big, beautiful cemetery that overlooks the countryside. Over the years, the cemetery has sort of encroached on the churchyard, and so there's not a lot of room for the outdoor activity. Well, a few months after I had started at New Hope during vacation Bible school, I went outside to join the kids at recreation. And I noticed that they were playing kickball in the churchyard, but to my shock, they were using two cemetery headstones as first and second base. Now, as a kid, I was taught you don't play in the cemetery. We kind of wandered around in there, you know, from time to time at Ebenezer, but that was it. I figured it was time for this 23-year-old pastor to assert some authority. I told the kids to stop tagging the monuments. Word must have gotten around that this new pastor needed some teaching, because later in the day, I was made aware that the kids had done nothing wrong, at least at New Hope. At New Hope, kids have played baseball and kickball, softball in that very spot for decades, and those headstones have marked the bases, well, since those saints had gone to heaven. The next day, I told the kids I was sorry, and it wasn't long before I, too, was tagging the headstone at first base at New Hope Cemetery. Mm-hmm. Speaking of rules, I think a lot of folks are taught things about the Christian Sabbath that isn't entirely helpful, and this keeps us from enjoying God's fourth commandment, which is to honor the Sabbath and keeping it holy. Many people are taught things about the Sabbath that is, it pretty much it's everything you do and you shouldn't do. There's lots of rules, and a lot of Christians and believers will take this to the extreme. But in our scripture today, Jesus shows us that honoring the Sabbath is very much important, but it's more about what we can and should do than it is about the rules. If you've been with us the past few weeks, we've been reading through the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus has been talking a lot about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, in my humble language, is just the presence of God with us. It's heaven on earth, or the glimpses of it. It's any time when we are one with God and one with each other. It's when you feel fulfilled and happy and you share it. You get it? It's hard to describe, but you know when you feel it. That's the kingdom of God in my humble language. It's the presence of God. It's a glimpse of heaven on earth. To Jesus, the kingdom of God is imminent. It's at hand. It's something that all of us work together with God and with one another to bring about. Well, in our passage, Jesus tells us about the time that Luke tells us about the time that Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Jesus was a faithful Jew, And so this meant he observed the Sabbath on the seventh day, which was sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. Jewish folks follow days like starting with the night, because in the Bible there was evening and there was morning on the first day. And so so they would practice from sundown Saturday, and they still do, sundown Friday until sunset Saturday. Jews believe that keeping the fourth commandment is important. It's one of the most important things you can do as a believer, and they honor it by spending their time resting and worshiping and with family. In Jesus' day, ancient Jews were real particular about it. They were prohibited from so much as tying a knot, let alone healing someone unless they were facing certain death. Three times already in the Gospel of Luke, seven times total, you know, seven's a holy number, so there you go. Seven times in all of the Gospels, Jesus healed someone on a Sabbath, and most of the time it didn't go well. So the fact that we're told that Jesus was in a synagogue on the Sabbath is Luke's way of saying, buckle up, this is about to get feisty. In verse 11, we're told that a woman who had suffered for 18 years with this crippling disease came into Jesus' presence. She was at the synagogue. Surely it was painful, not only physically, but also emotionally, because likely her illness caused people to mistreat her. In verse 12, Jesus saw her. And you see, Jesus has a way of noticing throughout the Gospels about people who are on the fringes. And so, obviously, I guess it's no mistake that Jesus saw her way out on the fringes of the crowd. She was marginalized in various ways. And so he broke his first rule that day. He talked to this lady who should not have been this far into the synagogue. You see, people with deformities and people who with various illnesses, they were expected to be out of sight, out of mind. Not only for practical reasons to avoid contagion, but also just because people didn't want to look at them, and so they were told them to, you know, to stay away. They were marginalized not only in society but in the church. It was wrong. Jesus invited this woman into his presence, and he simply spoke, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." He laid his hands on her in verse 13, and he simply spoke. She immediately stood straight up. She started praising God. I mean, who wouldn't? She'd been set free. She'd been liberated, not only from physical ailment, but also from social marginalization. Now, these miraculous healings in the gospel raise all sorts of questions as we seek to understand God today. For example, if God could heal so miraculously and instantaneously then, why don't we see that this often in our own lives? Now, I believe that Jesus healed people miraculously, sometimes physically, sometimes otherwise. And I also think that sometimes mental health was misunderstood as demonic possession. I think there are a whole host of things to take into consideration when we're understanding these miracles of Jesus. But I don't, yet after all of that, I don't think this is the main point of today's passage. There was a healing, and this lady that was healed and restored into society, both physically, spiritually, and emotionally, is important. But there's also something bigger going on, and that's one of the things I love when I'm trying to interpret and understand the Bible, is what's going on before and after, and that helps you even understand Scripture in all the more richer ways. You see, it's about the second rule, the biggest rule that Jesus was supposedly breaking that day. It was the Sabbath. Jesus had crossed a boundary in healing this lady, and we understand a little bit more why. In verse 14, the leader of the synagogue came out fuming. He ranted, you know, you could have done this any other day of the week, but not the Sabbath. And this was Jesus' moment. He called them hypocrites, and he brought up an important rule. They did their chores and feeding and watering their donkey on the Sabbath, and this was simple compassion. So why in God's name would it be wrong to give compassion to someone who was suffering? And he called the woman the daughter of Abraham, which, wow, what a compliment. Because this reminded everybody that she has a spiritual inheritance. This doesn't get named very often. Son of Abraham, maybe, but not daughter of Abraham. This was radical. Jesus, in other words, she mattered, she belonged, and she is loved. You see, the main point is that the kingdom of God that's so pressing and imminent is about hope and healing. It's about how deep and wide God's radical reach is in our world and in our lives. Living in the kingdom of God is about experiencing this ourselves and working with all of our might to share it with others. You see, today it's not so much about the specifics of the healing, though it's fun to wonder and consider all of those details. What matters today is what happened because of it. This lady was restored into hope and a new life. She was given a fullness of life again. And they were trying to say that Jesus was breaking the Sabbath when actually he was fulfilling it. He brought healing and wholeness and love to someone who had not experienced that for a long, long time before. That's what honoring the Sabbath is all about. The Sabbath was about focusing on God. Yes, it was. It was about setting aside a day as holy, and Jesus was doing that. But the rules had become burdensome. They excluded. And in the case of the lady in today's scripture, it hurt people. It hurt her. Sabbath should be a glimpse of the kingdom of God. It should be feeling a bit of heaven. It shouldn't be about oppressive rules and limitations. It should certainly not be exclusionary. And, you know, I think Sabbath is one of the most important things that we can practice as Christians. And so I want to spend a few moments on the importance of observing Sabbath and what it could look like and feel like in our busy lives. Like I said, the Jewish Sabbath was from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday on the seventh day. But Christians worship on the first day of the week, on Sunday, because this is when the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Christians throughout the ages have had various ways that we've honored the Sabbath. And most of these, though, have been rules, that things that we should and shouldn't do. A lot of us can remember even back in the day when the blue laws were more strict and you would leave church and maybe stop by. I remember up in St. Joe, we'd stop by the Food for Less and, you know, the aisle was roped off. I mean, you could go buy your beer at 11:59 on Saturday night, but not, you know, when the clock struck 12. And I think there are several states where you can't buy cars on Sunday still. Then I think there are times where you can't buy liquor at certain hours, so you can just, you know, just a few hours, so, you know, buy up or, you know, but you can't during certain hours. Today, conservative denominations prevent their members from doing a whole host of things on Sunday. But I feel that making Sunday a list of do nots about rules and technicalities misses this whole idea of Sabbath as liberation. On the seventh day, God rested. And so, you know, if we get legalistic, you know, we're already breaking the rule because we're on the first day. The Sabbath for Jesus is very much a day set apart. It's still different than the rest. Jesus always worshiped on the Sabbath. But gosh, to Jesus' Sabbath, they got pretty wild. He confronted injustice and hypocrisy of the church. He healed the most on the Sabbath, and that always led to confrontation. One could argue that Jesus did a lot of work on the Sabbath. He broke the rules, and he got into, well, what we call some good trouble. So, you know, maybe this is what the Christian Sabbath should be all about. And, you know, the particular day doesn't matter. Yes, for most of us, that is Sunday. But, you know, there's a lot of people that work on Sunday. A lot of for different reasons. People aren't able to, you know, completely rest on a Sunday in particular. But I think it's important that all of us have one day that we practice it. It's really self-care in a way. And it's honoring God first, but it's also honoring yourself and your body and your family and all your personal life. It's boundaries. And much of Sabbath centers around, you know, but the New Testament doesn't say anything particularly about the fact that we have to do it. You know, we're not instructed to attend church regularly in the New Testament. But much of it does center around communities of believers that prayed and praised and worshiped and served together. So just by practice or inherently, coming to church and being a part of believers was very, very important in the New Testament. So thankfully, God does not hand out new perfect attendance pins in heaven, but we don't need to feel guilty about missing church from time to time. Things happen. Life happens. My only concern, I think, is whenever people has no desire to worship God in a church and in a community or in small groups that help us grow into a faithful disciple. Sabbath is more than going to church. It's certainly not about the rules or breaking them. It's about giving yourself space to let God work God's healing nature in your life and to bring transformation. So Sunday, or whatever day that you celebrate the Sabbath, should be, my favorite phrase, something wonderfully different. Worship God, focus on Jesus and his way for your life, but maybe also follow a different routine than usual. Try not to work, or do work that is life-giving and feeds your soul. So I don't like to do dishes, so that's a good excuse. I'm not going to do the dishes today, but maybe you do, so do it. Do whatever is fulfilling and life-giving for you, as long as it builds you up in your relationship with God and your family. Another thing I think Sunday is about is making connections and seeking people out, maybe to bringing the same healing and wholeness for their lives as you do as you do for your own. Sunday is just Sunday should be wonderfully different. Your Sabbath should be wonderfully different. Sunday is, for me personally, Sunday is a day when I tend not to check emails. You know, I can do it six other days a week. I just try to enjoy life a little bit more. Pastors sometimes have to be careful because we work a little bit on Sunday. There's a little bit to think about. So I try to take a little bit other time throughout the week. Often it's Monday, but if it's not Monday, it's another maybe even part of days to add up to that. Just to try to give myself another whole day or 24 hours when I'm not thinking about all the other pressures. On Sundays, I try to use the fine china, even if it's eating potato chips. I just think doing something different, it's kind of fun. I try to think of somebody to contact that I hadn't touched base with in a while. So somebody far down on your chat list, or maybe if you don't like to talk on the phone as much, maybe I may call them. I try to call my family. Sunday, again, is about, you know, just blessing my relationship with God and with others, and also feeding myself and creating some boundaries. That's what Sabbath is all about. I think the work that we do sometimes is God work, and that's, again, that's what Sunday and that's what Sabbath is all about. Sunday is Resurrection Day. Sunday is new life, and theologically, the first day of the week, this is basically a recreation of the resurrection. Every Sunday is a little Easter, or it should be. And so I know that some Sundays, you can't always do this all the time. Sometimes work just has to happen. But I think as a general rule, find that day that's your Sabbath and bless your relationship with God, bless others, reach out to folks, do things, make that day something wonderfully different both for you and for others. Jesus shows us today that Sabbath is about seeking God's healing, finding new life, and sharing God's kingdom with others. Sabbath is important, but it's not the only day that God is working. Sabbath isn't the only day that we encounter God, but Sabbath is a good marker. And I think a lot of us have said that, you know, if you miss church, I know for me, the rest of the, I don't even know what day it is if I'm not in church on Sunday. But I think there's something deeper in that. I think Sunday is very ordinal. Sunday helps us mark the time. And in this crazy world, you know, so much is in chaos. It's just good to come together with our second family and to worship the Lord and to be blessed in each other's presence and to be fulfilled by the presence of God. So Sabbath really just kind of helps us mark the time and mark the days. When we stop this frantic pace and we worship God, when we take time for others and ourselves, we often find the rest of the week is in a better perspective. Through Sabbath observance, we're better able to see that God's love and God's grace is radically wide. And through our Sabbath observance, in our interactions with God and in our interactions with others, we do see very clearly what Jesus has been talking about in the Gospel of Luke, that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right under our nose. It's clearly among us. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that your presence is here. And Lord, we thank you for your command, your invitation to rest. God, I pray that on this Sabbath, it may be something wonderfully different. Help us to remember to honor you and to honor our relationship with you and with others. And let Sabbath be a time in which we experience you and the blessings of others in our midst. God, we praise you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.